Bible reading this morning is from Zephaniah chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. Zephaniah chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. But I will leave among you a humble and lowly people, and they will take refuge in the name of the Lord. The remnant of Israel will do no wrong and tell no lies, nor will a deceitful tongue be found in their mouths, for they will feed and lie down with no one to make them tremble. Earlier in the month, I did a lesson on the book of Zephaniah, the first part of the book, and so it consisted of a series of God declaring judgment upon various groups of people, but primarily the nation of Judah and the city of Jerusalem. The conclusion of that message was that judgment was coming, and it was going to be severe, and it was going to be inescapable. So in this concluding portion of Zephaniah's prophecy, he turns his attention from the devastation of the coming judgment upon disobedient Judah to give the promise of rescue to those individuals that even though they are a part or inhabitants of the disobedient nation and the disobedient city, that God will take care of them. And so this last portion of the book of Zephaniah really can be divided into two logical sections. The first is God makes his appeal to the faithful of his people to continue in their faithfulness in spite of the judgment that is coming upon their nation. And secondly, he gives a promise that he will rescue and restore those who are faithful among his people. So we will do this, and that will conclude this series. I know we're going to announce this several times, including on our website and on Facebook, but this will be the last of these services for a while. The month of February, we are not going to meet at 9 o'clock. We are just going to meet at 9:30 for Bible study and then the worship. And so we're going to discontinue this meeting temporarily and recommence in the first Sunday of March. So let us look at this theme of Zephaniah here. He makes this appeal to the faithful people. This is verses 8 through 11 of chapter 3. I'm not going to read all this text because of the time constraints of this period of time, but we'll kind of highlight this in sections. In Zephaniah 3, verses 8 through 11, the first exhortation that he gives to the people is, you wait for me. Now, this is from a Hebrew word that actually means you just need to be patient. And so what is being implied here is that there's going to be trial and there's going to be a time of great difficulty, but that they should just patiently wait through it. Interestingly enough, the literal meaning of this word, Hosea uses it in a very literal way in his prophecy, simply describing thieves that wait in ambush for travelers along the road. And so obviously that was a peril of traveling in their days as people walked or rode mules on the roads from one place to the other. Being a child of America, you know, growing up on television in the 50s and that type of thing, the picture that immediately comes to my mind is the bad guys in a Western hiding in the along the road waiting for the stagecoach to come by so that they can jump out and get it, you know, and commit the robbery. And so that's basically the main meaning of the word. If there's something that is your objective, sometimes you have to wait for the appropriate things to happen and the time and the place in order to do that. And what he's telling the faithful there in Judah is, They're going to have to do some waiting because things are not going to be the way they want them to be for a certain period of time. But if they will just wait, God will take care of them through that process. This gives us the picture of what Yahweh is asking the true followers to do. They have to wait out the time of judgment on the ungodly. Zephaniah 3 and verse 8 says, "Therefore wait for me, declares the Lord, for the day when I rise up as a witness. Indeed, my decision is to gather the nations, to assemble kingdoms, to pour out on them my indignation, all my burning anger, for all of the earth will be devoured by the fire of my zeal." So he says, my judgment's coming, you just have to wait that out. And so Zephaniah goes on to say that God has made a promise to those that will wait. This is Zephaniah chapter 3, verses 9 through 11. And so we ask the question then, if there is a promise to those who will do this waiting, who will wait out the judgment of God, well, who are these people? And that's what Zephaniah describes in verses 9 through 11 of the third chapter. First of all, he says, these are people who call upon the Lord with purified lips. And I think the stress there, and I tried to emphasize that on the chart, is you're going to call upon him with purified lips. Now, what does that mean? Well, these people of Judah and Jerusalem have disregarded all of the messages that God has sent to them through the various prophets, telling them to repent. They have resisted the attempts of kings like Hezekiah and Josiah to reform them and turn them back to true worship of God. And as soon as those kings died, they reverted right back to their idolatry and their wickedness. And so when this judgment comes, when the armies are terrifying the towns and the little villages as they make their way to Jerusalem, and as Nebuchadnezzar's army builds up his siege works around Jerusalem, and his siege starts, and things start getting scarce in the city of Jerusalem, and things get dire. You suppose the attitude of the people who hadn't paid any attention to God up to that point might change? And so what Zephaniah is saying is God's going to listen to those who call upon his name with purified lips. He's going to listen to those who are calling upon him because they have always called upon him, because they have always been faithful to him. And to those people, these are the people who were to wait upon the Lord. And so when the judgment comes, there's going to be many who will call upon Yahweh. But Yahweh says, what I'm looking for is the ones who will call upon me because of their purity, because they have always been faithful to me. He says, these are those who serve him. And Zephaniah uses a real interesting figure of speech in verse 9 of chapter 3. Those who are working shoulder to shoulder with God. And so, you think about the physical manual labor of that day. That meant they were right there working together. And so those who've always been working with God, those who've always been serving God, they are the ones who are going to wait on him to do his work of judgment. And that's to the group to whom God is making this promise. And then thirdly, he says, these are those who will worship Yahweh no matter where they are. And so, in my mind, I automatically think this is all in preparation of the Babylonian captivity. And these people are taken into Babylon, and now they're captives. And who do we think of? We think of the heroes, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, that even though they were under the control of Nebuchadnezzar, they would not bow to the foreign gods. They worshiped God wherever they were and were faithful to him. And so what the promise that Zephaniah makes there is, if you are that group of people, God will take care of you. he talks about the fact that this judgment, including the captivity, which is the end result of the judgment that God is bringing upon Judah and Jerusalem, was really a process. And it was going to do two opposite things. And this is the way judgment of God always is. First thing he tells us is that this process of God, if you will just wait on him to complete the process, if you are a faithful child of God living in a sinful Judah, a sinful Jerusalem, if you will just wait, God's process of judgment is going to remove the proud people and the exalting people from the people of Judah and Jerusalem. These are the ones who in their arrogancy have refused to humble themselves before God. And Zephaniah says God's judgment will take care of that. They will be separated and removed from his people. And that what will happen is that his judgment, while removing the proud and the exalting ones, will preserve God's humble and faithful servants. They will come through the process of judgment. And so that's the first part of this passage. Well, then we have the second part of it, which is the promise that he makes to this remnant of people. And Zephaniah is not alone. Several of the other Old Testament prophets use this term, the remnant. And of course, it's a very figurative piece that they would all understand. The remnant would be the leftover piece of cloth from which they might have made a garment or something like that. And so it's what's left over. And so he clearly identifies the remnant. He answers the question of who they are. That was the text we read at the start, Zephaniah 3, 12, and 13. I will leave among you a humble and lowly people, and they will take refuge in the name of the Lord. The remnant of Israel will do no wrong and tell no lies, nor will a deceitful tongue be found in their mouths, for they will feed and lie down with no one to make them feed and lie down with God, and no one will make them to tremble. So who are these people? He says they are a humble and lowly people. They are the people who are willing to submit their will to the will of Yahweh. They are those who take their refuge in the name of Yahweh. As this judgment comes, there are going to be these sinful Jews in Judah and Jerusalem who think that Egypt will rescue them. And they call upon Egypt to rescue them. Those people are going to not get what they are seeking, because Egypt is not capable of rescuing them. But those who take their refuge in the name of Yahweh, they are the ones God will be concerned about. And so I think this is applicable regardless of the day and age in which you live, and the various threats and stresses and so forth that people have. Yeah, even in our day, there's all kinds of things that give us concern in our political situation and things like that. And every time there's a little bit of a tension, like we've had over in the East, where Russia is, you know, camped right on the doorsteps of another nation, and somehow we believe that's going to affect us, and we're all concerned about what the politician's going to do and all that. As God's people, we just need to recognize that's really not our concern. Our concern is to be faithful to God. And if we're faithful to God, he'll take care of us. And that's what Zephaniah is telling the people of Judah and Jerusalem. You don't have to be a part of the proud and arrogant ones. You can put your faith in God, and then he will take care of you. Oh, and thirdly, he says, and you live properly. Sometimes people have a disconnect. They say, well, I'm a believer in God, and then it has no impact on the way they live. Well, they were living in the midst of a group of sinful people who did anything they wanted. And so Zephaniah makes sure they understand that if you say you're going to be loyal to God, then you're going to live the way God wants you to live. And these are the ones who constitute the remnant. Then he tells us in the middle part of this passage, actually verses 14 and 15, what the remnant should do as they undergo all of these things. And so he gives them an exhortation in verse 14 that's basically four things that are all about the same thing. In other words, they build upon each other. He says, you shout for joy, you shout in triumph. What is the judgment upon the proud and the arrogant is your vindication. And so you shout for joy and you rejoice and you exult in what the Lord is doing. And he gives the reason why people of God should always do that. He says, for you, Yahweh has removed his judgment. The things that are coming to the cities and the villages of Judah and ultimately to the city of Jerusalem itself is God's judgment upon them for their idolatry and for their sinfulness. You are not the one being judged. And ultimately, this whole process will be Yahweh clearing away their enemies and making it ultimately better for those who are the true children of God. And so Zephaniah ends here with the conditions that this remnant will enjoy if they just wait on God to work his process. And he basically says several things. First of all, he says, you will have no need to fear. Now, as people in the world, our tendency is to fear everything around us. And you could imagine how these people felt as they saw the armies of invasion coming into their land and realized Egypt wasn't coming to help them, all these various things. And what he says to them is you really don't have anything to fear in these kind of things. And the reason why you don't is that Yahweh will be with you. He will be in your midst. And when I read a phrase like that in the prophets, my mind automatically goes to the statement in the Gospels that where two or three are gathered together in the name of the Lord, there he will be in the midst of them with them. That's always been God's promise to his faithful people. I will be there with you. The whole concept of the temple was a reinforcement of that idea. You're going to build this temple in the holy city, and all of my people live around it, but my presence will be there. And until their unfaithfulness caused him to abandon and destroy that city, that's what the function of that was. God will be in the midst of his people regardless of what they are facing. And so we are told by Zephaniah that God is a victorious warrior, that he exalts over his people. While he brings judgment upon those who are rebellious and unfaithful, he takes great joy in his people, verse 17. And verses 18 and 19, he will meet their needs. And the ultimate conclusion is a statement and a promise of restoration. Zephaniah 3 and verse 20. At that time I will bring you in, even at that time when I gather you together. Indeed, I will give you renown and praise among all the peoples of the earth when I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord. So, in this very short prophecy, Zephaniah has succeeded in giving us a complete but brief picture of God's justice. For those who refuse to submit to God and honor him, his judgment will be extreme and unavoidable. For those who humbly and loyally worship and serve him, even during his time of judgment upon their nation, he will still be their refuge and their advocate. God knows without error exactly who is in each of those two groups. And he deals with them accordingly. So I believe Zephaniah is always, although it's short, it's always a great book to read because it contains this powerful message for God's people. Brother Bragg has the prayer, and then we'll be dismissed and the Bible class will begin.